during the time that I was serving in the church in Pratt, the hospital in Pratt had a picture in one of the corridors pretty close to the administrative area of the hospital. It was a picture of Moses. And it was a picture that I dearly loved. It was a large picture with Moses with that staff of God, which our reading talks about, that staff of God in his hand. And his face was weathered, but it was firm. You could tell he was very intent, but he was a man who knew what he was doing, where he was going, what was the purpose of his life. I liked the picture so much that one day I said to Susan, who was a very talented young woman, the administrator of the hospital, I said, "Susan, if you come to work some morning and that picture's gone, you might just drop by the rectory and see if I was the one who stole it." You know, in today's reading, we have that image of Moses. That this time, Moses on a mountain or a high hill, arms stretched out like this, staff of God in his hand, praying, being supported by two men. You know, Moses was fighting against the Amalek, it says. Well, historians say that the tribe of Amalek was a pretty insignificant tribe, and they were quickly kind of gathered into the people around them. They didn't last long. But for whatever reason, Amalek and that tribe become a symbol for Israel, a symbol of an enemy that they could not conquer except through the power of God. And so throughout their history, there's references to Amalek. But it's always that sense that what is needed is the power of God to conquer the enemy. It's interesting that in the Christian tradition, we have a story of another man who has his arms outstretched. Another man who's on a mountain or a high hill, this time nailed to a cross. But he too has become a symbol for us. A symbol that we too have an enemy that we cannot conquer on ourselves, by ourselves. That we need the power of God. We need the power of God to conquer sin and Satan, both in our lives and in the world around us. Let's go to the gospel reading now. We have two very clear characters in the gospel reading. We have that judge. Now, probably he was not a Jewish judge, because the Jews had different customs about how they resolved disputes. They would not resolve them by one judge, but by three judges. Each of the adversaries would come with their judge, and then there would be a third one who was supposedly impartial. When there was one judge, it was probably that they were being dominated by a foreign power, and that judge had been named or appointed by a foreign king. And those judges were notorious for being unjust. Normally, you could get a decision out of them if you had enough money. If you could buy them out, then you would get a decision in your favor. There was apparently a little interesting play of words that would often be used. They had a name for those judges, well, their proper name was two words, and it meant a judge who punishes. But if you would change one letter in the second word, it became a judge who robs. And that became the name that the people used for those judges, a judge who robs. Now, the other character in that story is the widow. Now, widows were especially vulnerable in the society of Judea because it's a very male-dominated society. And a woman who had lost her husband really was powerless. Now, there were laws that focused on giving special attention, charitable help to the widowed. But they were still very vulnerable people who depended on the charity and the help of the people around them. And so this woman really had no power against this judge. She had nothing with which to buy him off. The only thing she had was her persistence, and she used it to her advantage. Now, what is Jesus trying to teach us in this story? Well, obviously, he's not wanting to compare God to an unjust judge. But what he is wanting to say to us, that if persistence can influence somebody who is unjust to do justice, what will persistence do to a God who is just? That is the point Jesus is wanting to make, that we need to be persistent in our prayer. And Jesus isn't saying that we will get everything that we want just because we're persistent. There's a little different twist in the story. Notice how it ends. Will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes? The real justice that God gives is not always the justice against our adversaries, but it is the justice that transforms us. You'll notice sometimes reading in Paul's letters how he talks about we have been made just or we have been made righteous through Christ Jesus our Savior. That's the justice that God really wants to give us. And that's the justice for which we must pray constantly. Why do we pray constantly? Well, to open our hearts to that justice, to allow ourselves to receive Christ our Savior into our lives, to be ready to receive the salvation that God wants to give to us. But also, insistent prayer, constant prayer, is a sign of faith. When I give up praying, and when I pray for something and don't see the results, what is really happening is that I am losing faith, I am losing trust in this God of ours. But persistent prayer, prayer that endures over time, is a sign that I believe and I trust. I may not be able to see what God is doing right now. I may not know how God is touching my life. But if I continue in insistent prayer, it is a sign that I believe and I trust and I know that someday God will come and He will touch my life and He will make me just and righteous in His eyes. And He will bring me to eternal life in the kingdom of heaven.